In an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Hello, hello. I am Filippo, and I am so honored to be of service during this hour as I help be a change agent for positive change. And I was thinking, I've been saying that for the past couple weeks, being a change agent of positive change, and I've been thinking, how do I really do that? And I mean, just by being who I am, I suppose, but Have I actually pinpointed a couple things in my day that have been just that, an agent of change, other than being on the radio or talking to a friend? What about people that I meet that I don't know? And so I was thinking about my day one day, and as I went around doing things I needed to do, and I needed to go to a store and buy a product, and I needed service, and there were a lot of people hanging around looking like they could help me. And I walked in, and I wasn't even conscious of this. But I noticed that there was one young lady helping a man who seemed to be being a little difficult, or maybe a lot difficult, the customer was. And as I was standing around, it seemed that he just wanted to rant and rave at her, and it seemed like she was taking it in. And I just went up to her, and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, I need your help, if you could help me." And the man says, "Well, anyway, I'll be fine," and just kind of walked away. And she was still a little flustered, and I said, "It felt like you needed help." And she said, "Thank you so much, I didn't know what to do." And the man walked away, he just probably found somebody else to rant and rave with, and she was so grateful. And I really didn't think much of it, but it just took a moment of my time to just stand there and assess the situation, and anybody else could have helped me. But I'll tell you what, I got such great service from that young lady. and I just felt so good about it. And I asked her for her name and her card, and I just wanted to remember that moment. And I just thought it would be great to mention it today here on the radio and say, we can all do things like this. If we, and I could do so much more of it. So many times I've walked into that same store. Actually, I'll go ahead and say it because she might be listening. It's the Apple store in Sherman Oaks, and it's a great store, and people are always great, but sometimes customers and sometimes things happen. And in those moments, life changes. I changed because, A, I got great service. A, I was happy. A, I felt good. Those are all A's. A, I was happy. B, she was happy. C, the customer was probably happy because he didn't have to keep going on and bring more negative energy onto himself. So life does change. We can help change it. And we could be conscious of the change that we're making. And so that was my exercise just the other day in being conscious of the change that I make just in a know-nothing task of walking into a store and buying a product. So I wanted to share that with you, and we'll talk about more ways of how life is changing, more ways of how we are changing it, and how we're becoming more and more conscious of it. Well, my guest tonight is somebody who is changing the way we look at animals. Her name is Gabriela Castillo, and she is a healer, expert communicator, and problem solver. Her clients are people, adults, and children, but animals, I believe, is where she started. And it's going to be a topic of our discussion today, and I just find what she has to say on it fascinating. We're talking about animals large and small, domestic and wild. And this is interesting to me, especially the wild part, because we think, well, what connection do we have? They're not in our homes. They might not even be in our backyards. But we have a connection, she says, to the animals that are wild. Her gifts as a healer help clients in different ways. The guidance she shares with her clients can come through her psychic, medium, and intuitive gifts to being able to facilitate energy healing on the physical and emotional levels, to helping those needing a home and grounds clearing so they can understand, be empowered, and positively transform. So, without further ado, Gabriela, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Ciao. It's great to have you on. Thank you for being with us.
Well, I'm just so excited to be participating with you. I loved your story about being of service because it's a great way of just pointing out that more of us need to speak up in gentle ways to stand up for what's right and to help other people.
You know, thank you for saying that because it reminds me, too, that the animals sometimes don't have a voice in what we do to them. And sometimes they do, and hopefully we'll get into that, as I know you'd like to talk about. So, gosh, Gabriela, there's so much. There's just so much. Thank you for being so much. That
you're
I don't
so
know
kind.
Where to start with you. That's I know where to start. Let's start about something that I found really interesting. I watched the video clip you have on your website that we'll give out a little later, and it's actually on our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. So I watched the video clip that looks like a potential TV show, and then you told me an interesting story about that, so please share.
Which clip was it? Was it about the whole website?
No, actually, it's the one about the filmmaker following you around.
Right, how the website...
And the reason why he wanted...
Right.
Yeah,
well,
the reason why he wanted to follow you.
Well, you know, people see that site and they think it's, you know, really wonderful because it has video rather than a lot of text because, you know, in today's world, you know, you go to a website and you see too much text and people stop reading within the first two lines. So I'm so grateful for the video, and how it started out was I met a filmmaker through some friends, and he said, I'd like to follow you around to disprove what you do. And all I heard was, wow, video of my work. So I
love it.
Instead of feeling fearful, you know, for someone who was a skeptic, you know, I was actually all for it because, you know, I do understand that, you know, healers, energy workers, mediums, psychics, animal communicators, we're all still what's considered, you know, on the fringe of the holistic industry. And, you know, obviously there's a tremendous amount of skepticism, partly because science really hasn't gotten too caught up to what we're doing. I mean, they're starting to test people that are healers and do scientific studies, but not so that, you know, it reaches the whole of the population en masse. And this guy was skeptical, but in a very positive way. And 3 months later, after he traveled around with me, he called me up and he said, you know, your work's really amazing. I've become a client. You've worked with me. You've worked with my animals. And I'd like to put up this site as a gift to you. And I, you know, at the time I couldn't afford anything like that, and I was so very grateful. So it just kind of shows that if you're being of service and you're positive about not only what your goals are in life and, you know, what your passion is and following that, that good things do happen.
Absolutely, and the fact that he changed a skeptic to not only being a believer, wanting you as a client and then wanting to give you this gift. I mean, that just says so much. So more power to you and more power to the people that could make that change. And now, earlier we were talking about how our world is a reflection of who we are or what's going on inside of us. And I never thought about this, but you're saying the animals we attract or the animals we are attracted to are just that, a reflection of what's going on inside of us. So please share a little more on that.
Well, absolutely. I you know, I've never met an animal that's either, you know, been in a zoo, that, you know, the trainers, the keepers, or people that work with movie animals, or people that just have pets at home. I've never met an animal companion that does not reflect in some way issues that their person is going through. And, you know, you can have many examples. Like, I have people tell me, well, my dog is crazy, neurotic, has, you know, anxiety when I leave them alone, and let's fix the dog. And I'll turn around and smile kindly at the person and say, well, you know, in order for me to help the dog shift, we need to take a look at, you know, what's going on with you, too, because, you know, you're interconnected. I mean, science does state, you know, we're all made of energy, and if we're all made of energy, then there are interconnections between all of us, including animals. So it only would make sense that you can't ask an animal to change if their person doesn't shift with them, and likewise in human relationships as well.
Right. So with the animals, you're saying we've already picked an animal to bring in our house that we intuitively or energetically feel has the same issues or is in harmony with our issues somehow. Then we find out that the dog or cat has these issues, and then we come to you and say, hey, fix the dog. And you can fix the dog or cat all you want, but unless the human changes, the dog is going to go back to the same issues, right?
Absolutely. I mean, potentially. I mean, I have seen, you know, dramatic healings take place, you know, with animals that I've been brought in to work with that have either emotional or physical issues. And, you know, it's all a process. There isn't ever a magic wand, so to speak. I mean, I've seen animals heal a lot of things and, you know, still find, you know, their person struggling. But the animal's also on a life path as well, dealing with their issues. So, you know, I don't think anything ever becomes, you know, quote unquote fixed, as much as long as you're willing to evaluate your life periodically in the way that's positive. Like, a lot of times people get very resistant to change because, you know, all the different psychological aspects. Oh God, if I change, then what more is going to be asked from me? What if I fail? What if I do succeed? Good Lord, that's scary for folks. But I kind of try to couch it in ways of saying, you know, what are you doing well in your life that you want to continue to do, and that includes your relationship with your animal? And then what do you think you'd like to do differently that would help you move forward in a more positive way, thus helping your animal companion move forward?
Wow. And you take this, and you're not just talking about the animals that we have now in our home, but you're extrapolating, saying the animals out there. And you said something interesting to me earlier about the animals having their own path, and you just mentioned it again. And to me, that is fascinating, because we were talking about animals in captivity.
Absolutely. I'll share with you one example that we talked about, but first I'll share with you one that we didn't. I worked with an individual that was a movie trainer with animals. So his animals were primarily for movies. So he worked with, you know, domestic dogs as well as wolves and horses. And he had this one particular magnificent horse suffering from some real issues. And I got a load of psychic information from the horse and talked with his, you know, person about it. And the person was very distraught, and the person had some really, really terrible, terrible problems, drug addiction, self-esteem addiction, all of things that had started to happen this person, I guess, as a career that was in decline. And someone said to me, well, you know, that horse is going to suffer now. This person's going to do the wrong thing with the horse, and doesn't that tear you apart? And I'll say, well, I said, I do get from these two that they came together for a reason, and this horse is going to help this person, and this person's going to help this horse. And as much as they have a very tough road to hoe together, you know, they've got to go through it.
Like soulmates.
Yes. Hmm. Yes, and it can, I mean, and when I say the road can get very tough and it can be really hard to watch, you know, some of these things, you do have to realize that, you know, there is a reckoning, a balancing that's occurring. I'm not talking about advocating animal abuse. I mean, we have seen situations where, you know, animals are being abused in a way that the lesson is, you know, partly to call on individuals seeing what's happening to step up. And like you did with that person at the store, gently step in and create a positive change for the animal and if the person, if possible.
I like that. And it's interesting you talk about the horses, because we'll come back to that in a minute. But now the example you were talking about earlier, I loved as well.
Sure. We were talking earlier yesterday on, I have a little animal show called Animal Matters online, and we interviewed the folks from Island Dolphin Care.
Right.
And these folks have dolphins that work with families that are going through all sorts of types of crisis, including terminal illnesses, as well as people coming back from foreign wars. And, you know, a lot of times people will get up in arms and say, dolphins, you know, should not be in captivity. And I have a dear friend, Scott Taylor, who wrote Souls in the Sea, Dolphins, Whales, and Human History. He addresses this issue, and just like with domestic animals, there's a reason, you know, why certain dolphins, you know, do come to be with people. And I think what needs to change is not necessarily dolphins being with people and helping people and being of service, but I think it needs to be, the situation that needs to be rectified is the conditions in which they are placed. I think that putting them in a tank, you know, or like keeping a horse in a stall and never having, you know, a full life, I think that's absolutely things that need to change. And this particular place, Island Dolphin Care, and Filippo, you've been there, so that was serendipitous that we were talking about it.
Right.
You've actually visited and seen it. It's by the ocean. And
it's right in the ocean, actually, right.
Exactly. So you got to see how the dolphins had a very enriched and full life, as well as their life interacting with humans.
Right, and actually, now that you say that, I do remember that at one point they asked everybody to leave because the dolphins needed their time to themselves and all of that. So they were very conscientious of this. Yes, you're right.
And that's the kind of example of, you know, how animals that, you know, people talk about zoos. And again, I'm not saying that the current paradigm of zoos is perfect. We definitely need to work on that as well. If they're going to be, again, of service to us, then we also need to have that balance of being of service to them.
Well, and that brings me back to what you were saying about animal keepers even have some kind of a connection with the animals. And so the zookeepers have a connection, and we were talking earlier about elephants and polar bears as well. I mean, this is not just cats and dogs and horses. We're talking these wild animals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, animals in zoos as well as animals in the wild. You know, humanity is starting, you know, obviously to recognize that everything is interconnected and interrelated, and that the choice to see the choice to say that human beings come first above every other being, every other species, is partly the reason that we're in the problems that we have today in the world, especially when it comes to global warming, business, all of it. If we change our paradigm to not choose that it either has to be animals first or people first, but choose that the entire planet can move forward together equally and equal importance, then can you imagine the paradigm change that would occur? I mean, there's plenty of money to be made and business to be had. And, you know, I'm not saying I don't want industries to thrive, but there's certainly a very different way for industries to thrive that the oceans can still survive intact as well. And it's going to be a painful shift at this point because it's, you know, current power structures are going to have to make some shifts, and shifts mean to them, in a place of fear, loss of money or perceived, you know, external power. And if we look at it as just a way to create more abundance in a different way that prolongs humanity's existence on the planet, as well as enriching the entire planet and every species, think about all the good that can come from that.
You're right, and I'd like to hope that there is a paradigm shift there too, like is happening in the green movement, that there is money to be made also off of making things green and people becoming more conscious and buying more green, et cetera, just like that shift into we can make money in this area and we can maybe drop this area. Maybe this can happen the same as to what you're talking about.
Exactly. And as it refers back to the animals, I mean, there has been very, very few mystics, very few great men, very few great men of science that did not believe that other species were absolutely important. I mean, there's a quote very well known from Gandhi saying, you know, you can judge a civilization's advancement or spirituality by how they treat other species. By how animals are treated. Lincoln, there's a famous quote from him saying, I care not for a man's religion that his dog or his cat isn't the better for it.
Wow.
You know, I'm butchering some of these quotes, so please forgive me. Look them up, though. But there's, I mean, Einstein wrote about harmony. Mark Twain, you know, Buddha, you know, there's so many different quotes of so much really saying, you know, that other species need to be treated with dignity and respect. And, you know, coming down to the zoos, I mean, it's such a big difference when you have a zoo person, a professional that has a genuine passion and love for the animals as a being, not just as a creature to be, you know, there are two different types of people, I think, working in those places, and I'm going to generalize, so forgive me. They're the ones that have a love and a passion for the animals as well as the science and as well as them being on display in the zoos and, you know, for being of education purposes for people and children. And then there are those that don't quite have that love, kind of see them as a lower being, and that people come first and they're there to be at the disposal of humanity. And you can see the difference in the animal's behavior, and you can see the aggressiveness and the certain strangeness that occurs. So there's definitely a direct correlation between, you know, people's behaviors and their way of thinking and the animals they interact with.
You know, Gabriela, talk about interacting with animals. You had a very interesting interaction with a group of animals, and they weren't even present, but they were very much so energetically, and you connected with them in such a way, and you spoke to them in a global manner that you came to some really interesting understandings. Could you share about the connection with the dolphins?
Absolutely. It was a few years back. We were at I believe it was here in L.A., and it was the Conscious Enlightenment Expo, you know, one of those holistic expos. And I was with some friends, and there was just going to be this group meditation, and I was resistant all the way. They literally dragged me in kicking and screaming, and I probably subconsciously knew I was going to have an experience that, you know, was going to be a hard one. And
you and I are so alike that way.
Yeah, no, you know, go, jump off the cliff, but not with a swan dive, kicking and screaming. And so I went in, and it started, and within a few minutes of it, and I wasn't thinking about them, and I really had nothing on my mind except for maybe to relax and take a nap. And all of a sudden, you know, I started hearing whale song and seeing whales. You know, my eyes were closed in a meditative state, and then also hearing dolphins and seeing them. And in both cases, I saw a whale eye look right at me and then a dolphin eye, and the communication was, you know, why? Why as a race are you doing this to us? And at the time, I had forgotten, or I didn't realize that the hunting in Japan, the annual culling of the dolphins was occurring, and there was a lot of whaling going on. And I didn't realize this till afterwards. And they were asking why, and they were very sad. And there was images that were very unpleasant of them being killed that were very different. I don't allow myself to look at those images online, by the way, because I'd never get any sleep. They affect me so. But I was getting these images via this meditation, And I started crying, which is, again, unlike me in public. And I was just crying with my eyes closed. And, you know, I said to them, you know, we're trying to help. As humanity, there are those that respect, and, you know, we're trying to change and trying to get people to understand and hang on. And they kept crying and asking why. And then, of course, you know, I got angry. You know, I might be a healer, but I'm a person too.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, why don't you guys attack? You know, whales are bigger than the boats. You know, take them on. You've got sonar. We all know scientifically that dolphin sonar is so powerful it can boil the insides of a human being if they chose.
Amazing.
And I said, so, you know, or, you know, either take that tact and wage war on those waging war on you, or, you know, if you know they do this in certain parts of the ocean every year, then vacate that part of the ocean.
Right.
And the response was crystal clear, and to this day, if I remember that moment, my jaw still hangs agape. And it was, because you have to volunteer to stop. We can't force humanity to stop. Humanity needs to do it willingly to come to the understanding. And actually, it was very Christ-like, self-sacrifice, you know, for the good of many, even if it's their death.
Mm. Wow. It's amazing. And I could see that. I could feel that. And there's so much we could learn from that. Is here we have an opportunity. Somebody is giving us an opportunity. Like when we go to a healer as yourself, you are allowing us to, you are opening up the space for us to be able to experience something. And so these animals in what you're saying are, they're making themselves available for us to come to this realization and an understanding, like these great people have said in the past, and you quoted a few of them. And we are, right?
Well, you know what? It's a great question. There are days that I will sit here and say, I see progress, I feel progress, and then, you know, I see on the news, you know, some dog having been beaten to death. You know, or, you know, I hear about seal hunting and other practices that are going on that are, you know, barbaric, you know, and I get quite upset. But, you know, I do feel that we are making progress incrementally. It's a massive paradigm shift. I mean, humanity has been disconnected, if you will, from nature for a very long time. We either put ourselves outside of nature or above nature, not a part of the circle of life. And the fact is, we're animals too.
Mm.
That's a simple fact. We are an animal. You know, we're the dominant species on the planet right now, but we are an animal.
Right.
And so, you know, my hope is, you know, a lot of times animal lovers will come to me and say, you know, how can people do this to an innocent animal? And they'll show me a puppy, and, you know, how can people do that? And I said, well, if someone goes home and beats their child, do you think they're going to have any qualms about beating a puppy or a kitten or any other species? I mean,
right.
Until we learn self-respect and dignity for our own kind, it's very difficult to ask, you know, for that to happen with other species. So that's why, you know, you said it, I started out with animals, and then I began to realize, my goodness, I can't really help them until I deal with the change agents, and the change agents on the planet happen to be the humans right now.
And yet the animals are offering a way for us to awaken to this consciousness, because, you know, you'll see an animal, sometimes we'll see an animal, actually, I take that back, all the time. How many times do we stop somebody in the street and say, oh, you're beautiful, oh, I love your energy? I'll say more often than not, I mean, or more often it'll be the case where we'll stop and say someone, oh, your dog is so cute, or what kind of a dog is that, or can I pet it? We don't do that for each other, but we'll do it for the animals. So there's that as well.
Well, definitely. And, you know, the reason, it's a great point that you're bringing up, Filippo. The reason for that is humans, whether you are exposed to animals or not, or have an animal companion in your life or not, we instinctively know that animals really aren't going to judge us. I mean, they have their own issues. Like, you know, some animals are a little skittish and, you know, have fear issues and stuff. But it's not because they're judging. And so people are much more willing to go up to an animal and say, oh, you know, your animal seems so wonderful. May I, you know, interact with your animal? And that's the reason, because animals are completely non-judgmental.
Which actually brings me very nicely to the work that I know you are very close to, EAL, Equine Assisted Learning, with the horse.
Yes. Well, my co-host on Animal Matters, Christiana Capra, she is an EAL person, and I've learned a lot about it from her. And one of the first people that we interviewed was a gentleman who's a psychiatrist. And he actually created a program out of New York and got several veterans from foreign wars involved that were having, you know, many different types of problems coming back from, you know, being in wartime. And the horses, you know, they have one person who is, you know, obviously an equine specialist and then a psychiatrist to help in the therapy of the individuals attending. You don't have to have horsemanship at all. It's not about riding or grooming or anything. It's just about going out in the field and interacting with these animals, and they literally reflect exactly back where emotionally the individual they're working with is. And it creates moments for these soldiers to open up in ways that it would have either taken them months, if not years, to do so alone with a therapist, or they wouldn't have done it all. And then the psychiatrist that they work with is given an opportunity to see them open up and then have them continue and accelerate their, you know, emotional well-being in ways that, you know, they've never seen before. And actually, a lot of their medications get reduced because of this program.
It's amazing. I know the work, and I know that the horses choose the people they want to work with.
Oh, absolutely. You will find the perfect horse will pick that person they need to work with. And there was one story, and I'm probably not going to tell it accurately because it was a while ago, but a veteran went into a field, and all these horses are very well-socialized beings, but they do have their own personality and their own quirks, just like all of us do. And the most ornery of the individuals of the horses chose this vet who was a real tough case. And this horse that normally does not show a lot of compassion, is very much standoffish, just came over to this guy, and he was a big guy, you know, imposing looking. And this little horse just came over and just put and rested his chin on the guy's shoulder and just stayed with him. And the guy just immediately, within like 5 minutes, broke down crying had an emotional release. And all it took was this horse to just be with him.
Wow. Wow. That's an amazing story. And actually, I have a surprise for you right now, actually. I have a friend who started Pets Love Music.
And oh, absolutely.
Exactly. And he started noticing that when he was playing music, animals would come around, and he'd be at friends' houses, and animals would come around. And so a pet trainer and a groomer and a couple of them got together and ganged up on him and said, "We want your music for our animals." And so he created Pets Love Music, two CDs for cats, two CDs for dogs, and one for horses. And I think the music is really beautiful. But the funny thing is, and the connection that I make here, is that he said, you know, this is an interesting way to get humans to relax, because you play the music for your animals, but it's the humans that need it more than the animals. And so it's also an opportunity for them to connect. And I thought that was really interesting that he came to that realization, like you have in your work, that it's the people that need
the most. What's so beautiful about what you're telling me is that, you know, music is sound. Sound is energy. It's a frequency. And
right,
so
right.
It's absolutely true that animals and people, you know, a friend of mine just adopted a dog, and one of his favorite music is from Steely Dan, and particularly from the album Asia. and he needed to rename the dog, and he plays all this different type of music in the house, like from classical, everything. And the dog ends up loving Steely Dan as much as he loves Steely Dan, would sit in front of the speakers.
What a coincidence.
Well, there you go. And so, again, you know, the right animal always chooses the person, even if it doesn't seem like that. But, you know, my dog, for example, can't get enough of classical piano. I mean, if I put on Debussy, Chopin, Beethoven, I mean, Jin, if he can, will sit right underneath of a baby grand if someone's playing.
Well, there you go.
And if not, he's right in front of the stereo system, in front of the turntable, getting the music, because he just loves it. And you're right, it not only relaxes us, but it's a benefit to them as well.
Well, I'd like to give you and our listeners a sample of this beautiful music. I've chosen, ironically or not so ironically, the song Horses Love. So here's Horses Love from Pets Love Music. And that's Horses Love, as in the love a horse has, as in the story that you told, Gabriela. Isn't that beautiful?
It's wonderful music, and of course they would love it. Something that sparked a memory of two things that are relevant to them loving music so much. One is that I heard and I read a study that horses have the same reasoning skills and cognitive skills as that of dolphins, humans, and dogs. And so, you know, a lot of times when we witness behavior issues with animals, be it dogs or horses, or most animals actually, is because they're not getting the mental stimulation, emotional support that they need. And the second thing that I'll reference that is relevant to that is, you know, for people that are still understanding that they're beings, you know, they are sentient beings, they feel, they want to be happy as well within their context. I never say to people, oh, people are animals and animals are people. What I'm trying to tell folks is you're looking at another sentient being, and all sentient beings just want to be happy. And part of understanding that they're sentient is in the March issue of last year of National Geographic, scientists did a multi-species study on their understanding of human language. If you read that article, and you can find it online on archives on National Geographic website, you will be stunned at how much vocabulary different species actually do have, human vocabulary, and the kind of shame is, you know, we have absolutely or minimal other species languages, an understanding of it. So,
and that's why we need people like you.
You know, we begin to understand, okay, who's the smarter species? I mean, they learn our language and we don't learn theirs. It's kind of fascinating.
or arrogance on our part. So, but that's all changing, and thanks to people like you. And I did want to mention, if anybody is interested in that CD or any other Pets Love Music CDs, you can go to our store at lifechangeswithfilippo.com, and you'll find that CD there. And Gabriella, where can people find you?
Before I tell folks, may I add one more thing about the music?
Please.
You know, folks, it is really, if you're away, and even if you have a dog walker or, you know, you're away from the barn for a period of time, leave the music on. You know, leave it on repeat. Animals really, that music will go a long way to engaging them throughout the day when they're home alone. It's so important. And just like beautiful music, like we just heard, can really help them, it can also hurt them in the sense of, be conscious with the music that you pick. These beautiful CDs that Filippo's recommending, those are perfect. If you're leaving home and leaving 70s disco crazy music, you will come home to a destroyed sofa or eaten shoes. Because they, you know, it's music that wires them, literally, like it wires us. So stick to good music like Filippo's recommending, and please leave it playing when you do leave your animals at home. They will appreciate it. And to find out more about me, you can go to www.healertv.com, and all my information's there on the button where it says the brochure, and you'll be able to find that as you navigate the site.
That's great. And Gabriella, we make such a great team, because I was going to ask you, what could you leave us with if you left us with one thing that we can do for our animals that that we have at home? And I think you said it. You read my mind.
Well, you know, be conscious that they're sentient beings and that they want to be happy, and know that the music, the things that you do to engage them, stimulate them, spend time with them, they are companions, you know, which I try not to use the word pets, but they truly are companions. And if you allow it, they can enrich your life beyond your wildest dreams if you just are open to it and learn how to do it.
Okay, you know, I have to laugh. We're running out of time here. We have a couple more segments. But I've noticed that I think cats was just mentioned once, and that was by me. I don't remember what I said. But we really didn't talk a lot about cats. Is that because they're incorrigible, or is that just me?
No, you know what? Cats, most cat people know that their cats are amazing animals. I mean, I've yet to meet a cat person that kind of ignores their cat as a, like, oh, that's just the cat. Every cat person I've ever met realizes that their cat has so much wisdom, real wisdom, that I've never met a cat person that hasn't told me they haven't learned something significant from their cat.
Oh, okay, so all right. Well, good. We got something in there for the cats and the cat persons. Gabriella, we could go on, and I have a feeling we will. We've already talked about other projects we can work on and how we could do things together for the good of all, and I look forward to those. It's just been a thrill having you here. So
Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to staying in touch, and thank you for a wonderful evening. I hope everybody enjoyed.
I sure did. Thank you, Gabriela Castillo, everyone. Wow, that is so much fun. You know, before we go on, let's have the word from our sponsor, and then we'll get back to our regular segments.
Centuries, people have been looking for the fountain of youth, trying everything from drugs to surgery, just trying to stay young and look young. When all along the secret to youth, health and vitality has been right under their noses. Hi, I'm Dr. Ken Best, and I'm here to tell you the secret, that the one thing you cannot live without is the very answer you have been looking for. Water, and not just any water. The secret water I am talking about is filtered, alkaline, antioxidant, ionized, microclustered, and structured water. And you can literally have this fountain of youth water flowing freely in your own home thanks to the patent technology of IonWay's water system. The antioxidant potential of the water fights your body's free radicals that can cause disease and aging. It alkalizes your cells, which helps you lose weight, and it hydrates your body so it can function optimally, allowing your skin to look younger and healthier. The best part is, all you have to do is drink it. You can stop buying the expensive bottled water, which is usually not very good for you in the first place. By doing this, you'll reduce your carbon footprint and save the earth of unnecessary plastic waste. They already know this secret in Asia, as in one out of every five households in Japan uses a water ionizer, as doctors actually prescribe them to their patients. Now you can drink from the fountain of youth at home. Drink this water as if your life depends on it, because it does.
And if you want to know more about our sponsors, go to our sponsor page on lifechangeswithfilippo.com. We have a regular segment that we're calling The Luminary List. The Luminary List, about businesses, governments, celebrities, and people that are doing things that are changing the world. And Stacy, are you with us? Stacy Hess, our PR. Stacy Hess is our publicist, and she's always got some exciting things to share about things happening out there. What's going on that you want to share with us?
Well, Filippo, I have one thing to say to you. Are you ready?
Uh-oh. Sure.
I want my MTV. That's all I have to say.
That's pretty good. I didn't know you sang, too. Tell me what you mean by that.
Clearly, I don't sing. So here's what I mean by that. This week's luminary for our list is MTV.
How so?
It might surprise a lot of people, but MTV is changing up its roster this year. They're adding some shows that have some positive social messages. They're walking away a little bit from years and years of vapid programming focused on over-the-top shows like Newlyweds and The Hills and My Super Sweet 16 that really kind of glamorized some things in life that maybe weren't quite so positive and aware. And they're moving into this sort of new world that we're all experiencing. So they're shifting with us into sort of this aware, conscious world where they're adding four new shows to their roster this year. And what's exciting about it is that all four of these shows are focused on social awareness, social consciousness, and delivering positive messages to their audience.
Okay. Wow.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a big change for MTV, right? I mean, these guys are known for not necessarily the most socially conscious programming. But obviously the shift has touched them, and they're typically ahead of the curve, and they continue to be. The analysts are predicting that the major networks are going to start to follow this probably in the next season. But I just want to spend a couple minutes, if I can, Filippo, sharing with you the four shows that they're going to launch that have this sort of social conscious aware tilt to them.
Sure.
Well, the first one is called The Buried Life, and it is it kind of takes off on the whole bucket list movie idea. It's a couple of guys driving around in an RV with a video camera with a list of 100 things to do before I die. But what's really cool about this show is that each stop that they make, they help deserving locals with things that they need. So, for example, in Los Angeles, they lent a hand and raised money for a school in Los Angeles, and in downtown Los Angeles. And when they were in Idaho, they took 8 children who had brain cancer on a shopping spree at Toys R Us. So they're not just traveling around the country pursuing the 100 things they want to do before they die, but they're also touching people within each community trying to make a difference, which is important. The next one is called T.I.'s Road to Redemption, and it's about a former rapper who's working with kids in the city to kind of keep them on the straight and narrow and help them understand the importance of responsibility and social awareness and learning to kind of live within integrity, which we all know is really important. And then there's a third one that features Nick Leahy, which you guys all may remember from The Newlyweds. And that one's called Taking the Stage, and it's a reality show, which MTV really pioneered the whole reality show genre, and it's about a performing arts school in Cincinnati for kids. And then finally, there's one called From G's to Gents, and this one stars a guy named Fonsworth Bentley, who was Sean Combs' valet for several years, and he's out there working with homeless boys, teaching them how to be productive and how to be gentlemen and how to improve their lives and move forward in a positive way.
Wow.
So, that's... you know, I read this article yesterday, Filippo, in the Sunday New York Times, and I was really touched by it because I think it's really important that that channels like MTV are taking a lead in this because they're really the people that are shaping the way that our young people look at the world. And, you know, I think these guys definitely deserve to be on our luminary list this week.
You know, Stacey, thank you. Everything you bring is always exciting and positive, and you bring great things to light. Okay. Thank you, Stacey Hess.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that's exciting. And, you know, we certainly couldn't close the show without having a word from our resident cosmic advisor, Dorothy Lee, with her State of the Universe address. Dorothy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, please share. What do we have to look forward to this week?
Well, what the universe needs from all of us right now is for us to love one another and to love ourselves. Love is the most powerful force in the universe, and we're all on a journey together, Filippo. The purpose of this journey is to see how long it takes for each of us to remember that as divine children of God, we are powerful beyond measure. God is unconditional love, and unconditional love is God. Therefore, we have come here to be unconditional love, even though we're never taught this by our families, our churches, institutions, schools, are our government. Love is freedom. And it's part of my mission and purpose to remind myself and others to always live from our hearts and not our minds. Some beings never remember this, and at the end of their lives, they leave as unhappy as they lived. Others remember and live lives filled with joy, abundance, and bliss. You don't need to take a lifetime to remember that you are love and that you are God incarnate, therefore powerful beyond imagination. You can choose to become who you really are in any moment. Each day we make choice after choice, and it appears that there are unlimited choices, but in reality, in every situation, there are only two, and these choices are love and fear. In choosing love, you are choosing God. In choosing love, you are choosing you. So please take this journey with me, the journey from our heads to our hearts. When we make choices from our hearts and not our heads, we're making choices that not only serve us, but serve the planet too. So what do choices of fear look like? Judgment, anger, criticism, pain, suffering, disease, lack and limitation, and all things that are not pleasant. Choices of love are abundance, joy, bliss, contentment, laughter, creativity, harmony, unlimited possibilities, all good things. Love is always the perfect choice, and choosing love brings us an abundance of good things. So please choose now to love yourself first and to honor yourself by choosing to make the most elegant choices possibly on a daily basis. So one great way to start a day filled with good choices is to read aloud Napoleon Hill's famous The Winner's Creed. This was written in 1937 during the Great Depression to inspire people to remember their magnificence and to remember that we are the co-creators of this thing called life on Earth. If you like this piece and want to start your day off with it, then simply select life-changing words in the navigation bar at the top of our website, www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com. So here is the Winner's Creed. I know that I have the ability to achieve my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I am succeeding by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, cynicism, anger, and fear by having true love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. This is my creed. This is my quest, to never stop striving for the top, to always keep moving forward, to always be the best I can be. I am the power. I am the magic. I cannot be stopped. I am a winner. I promise to always be true to myself because I am the creator and master of my universe, and am responsible for making a positive difference in the world and to the quality of life in it. I live in constant and never-ending improvement. Napoleon Hill, 1937.
Wow, that's beautiful. Dorothy, thank you so much for sharing that, and what a great way to start our day. Thank you, Dorothy Lee. So that's our show for today. Tune in next week. We're going to be with our guest, Curly Coive, who is a beautiful young pop star. And she's going to hopefully sing with us or for us, maybe with us. I'd love to sing with her. She's so much fun. And remember to keep the conversation going with us at our website, www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com, or on our Facebook page, Life Changes with Filippo. That's it. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee and Stacey Hess, our engineer, Seth, our show producers, Mark Skelton, John Snow, and Mark Leger, we'd like to thank you for joining us in being the change we wish to see in the world.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we graciously embrace the only constant, life changes.
just believe. Just believe.
Just believe.
If you only let it be, you can do magic if you just believe. If you only let it be, you can do.